wonderful to be here, and there's such a wonderful sense of the presence of the Lord here. And the Lord has been speaking to us very clearly, and as our brother mentioned, very clearly as brethren, about our need for structure. And I guess sometimes the more disabled you are, the more structure you enjoy, whatever kind of disability that is. And that's the kind of people that God said He called, not the wise, not the mighty, but those that were not, so that He could bring to naught the things that are. God is, I believe, bringing us to a place where we will really let go and flow with Him in a way that we haven't before. Even when Jesus was talking and talking about the law, and all that was contained, and was asked by the lawyer in Mark chapter 12, what was the greatest of all commandments? And Jesus answered him in verse 29 of Mark chapter 12 and said, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And even as natural people, but even as Christians, we like structure. We like rules. We like regulations. We like to follow a clear path of what we should be obedient to. And there are, in the Old Testament, I believe, 613 commandments. And I've heard people say, if you're an elder and you don't know all 613 commandments, then you shouldn't be an elder. But the fact is that Jesus Himself said that all of the laws of God, all of the rules, all of the regulations are encapsulated in this, that if you love the Lord your God with everything you have and everything you are, and your neighbor as yourself, then that covers them all. And at the same time, we have to be honest. All of those laws that God gave to Israel were for a reason. And sometimes, you know, we're called to be a people of the Sabbath. We're called to be a people who have entered into the rest of the Lord. And yet many times, we live the Sabbath as, and practice the Sabbath as it was a worldly day. And God has called us to a higher level, to a place of rest in Him. He isn't asking us to do it as our brother read in Thessalonians last night. Faithful is He who has called you, who will also do it. It's not on us. It's on God. What God wants us to do is to submit to Him. And what He really wants us to do is to submit to His love. If you turn to Romans chapter 13. Paul talking here in Romans chapter 13 and 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. This is... You know, as we meditate and look at the Scripture, there's tremendous things contained in just one line. When he says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another," he's describing what our responsibility is as a Christian. We owe it to love one another. And because we're not able to do that in our own strength, he says that throughout the scriptures that there is a spirit that's been given to us to enable us to fulfill not only the law, as Jesus described it, but the very spirit of the law. So he says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not love, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." And Jesus addressed this in John chapter 13 when he said to his disciples in verse 34, John chapter 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." And it may be hard for us to grasp that all of the commandments, all that God requires of us, is fulfilled in love. Any situation that we find ourselves in, any struggle that we find ourselves in, any place where we are, can be dealt with by the love of God. It's a love that is far beyond our understanding. It was addressed by Jesus again in John chapter 15. Herein is my John chapter 15, verse 8. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." And there was only one commandment. You can look through the Bible. Jesus only gave one commandment, and that was the one when he said in 13 and 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you."
Yes, amen.
Because when you submit to the Holy Spirit, you become one with Christ and with God. And it's God's desire for us, in a way we have not known before, to let go and to submit to his Holy Spirit. James call this the royal law: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And John, in his first epistle in chapter 2, spoke of the fact that, spoke of the old and the new, which were actually the same. The old, Jesus said, was encapsulated in, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and your neighbor as yourself." And the new was Jesus' commandment that you should love one another as I have loved you. When we look in the love chapter in Corinthians and see the depth that there is in love, we begin to understand that it's not really talking about a love that we understand, but it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It is something that's beyond our understanding, and yet it is given to us freely. No, our love, as we understand it, always has an object, doesn't it? You love your wife, you love your husband, you love your children, you love your job, you love your house, you love your 57 Chevy convertible, or whatever else you're attached to. But, you know, love God talks about doesn't have an object. It's love for love's sake. It's a way of living. It's a spirit that you live in. It doesn't focus on a thing or on doing something. It's a flow in your life. Because it's God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth knoweth God. For God is love. He that knoweth not God, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. It's this love. Because if God's love, then His Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of love, is it not? It's the Spirit of love. God is wanting us to recognize just how deep and how strong and how powerful this spirit of love is, and yet how difficult it is for us to grasp. Because who of us can believe that if we love, everything will change? Look at every situation that you find yourself in, and look around at people that are trapped in situations. Look at the crisis that come upon us, and you say, how can it be that love will solve that? Well, when you look at what the definition of love is there, you realize how much greater is God's love than we understand. But God, who has no condition to His love other than we accept it, has given that love to us freely. But it requires us to submit to it, even more, to abandon ourselves to it. To give ourselves completely to God's Holy Spirit of love. To not have any expectation or any agenda or any preconception about what this love will do. This is the love that took those people that were cast off in Israel. As Jesus said, those that were prostitutes, those were who were drunkards, those who were the street people of our time, that had no hope, that had no vision, that were despised and rejected by the society of their time, and said to them, the gate is open, you can repent and enter the kingdom of heaven. And with those people, He built a church. And it was this church that Paul talked about. When he said to them in Corinthians that, you know, I've said that those who commit adultery and those who are fornicators, it said, no, you thought the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, or adulterers, or adulterers, or effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And it's so much our tendency to look around, or even look at ourselves and say, you know, I just have too many struggles, I'm not going to make it. Or this person's not going to make it, or that person's not going to make it. And such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. There is no one beyond the reach of God's love. And walking in the Spirit of love automatically accepts that there is no one beyond the reach of God's love. And to have that Spirit of love and to walk in that Spirit of love, we have to accept it in our own lives. And I think that's what Paul was talking about when he prayed in Ephesians chapter 3. And he said in verse 14 of chapter 3, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." I believe with all my heart that God wants us to enter into his presence and to just wait upon him and allow him to give us the comprehension of this love that he loves us with. This love that he loves his whole creation with. This love that nothing can stand against. A love that will establish, that will heal, that will renew and revive and restore and reconcile and regenerate everything in that it touches. And he has chosen us, he's chosen you, and he's chosen me to be the vehicle for that love, to be the conduit of his love, not to be a somebody, but to let any sense of being a somebody or something go and to flow in the Spirit of Christ. That is what Christ in you, the hope of glory, is. Letting the Spirit of Christ flow in you. Laying aside any preconception, any prejudice that you might have. Having such a spirit by the Spirit of hope and desire for everyone around you and for his creation and for the church, that what you see with your eyes does not deter you from believing that there's a possibility of restoration and regeneration for those around you and for God's creation. And it will be that Spirit flowing through the church that actually causes it to rise and causes God's creation to rise back to him. Not us doing, but God doing through us. Not us thinking we are something, but us walking in an anointing so that his creation will know and we will know that God is moving. And that God's love is not a conception, but a reality. Amen. In the earth and in us.
Amen.
God, help us to really release ourselves to his Spirit in a way that we haven't before. You know, the many things that, and even our Christianity, those are places of comfort for us. The things around us, the goals we set, and the achievements on this earth that we look at are comforts. The human nature is very comfortable with all of those things. But none of those things in reality mean anything. You are not what has happened to you. You are not the job you work at. You are a child of God. You are born again into a kingdom that maybe, as our brother said, we don't understand. We don't have a conception of. But God is so wanting to give us an idea of what this kingdom is. He is so wanting us to release ourselves to the flow of His anointing in a new way, that He can begin to show us the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, that it can be the reality that we live in. God is wanting the spiritual to be our reality, not the natural. And as we allow Him to take us there, we will begin to understand that there is no impossibilities with God, that there is no obstacles to God. And He is wanting us to really let ourselves go. And I pray that whatever situation you find yourself in this morning, and you know it works both ways. You can have a life full of struggles. And you know, we deal many times with people whose life is just a torment. And who constantly are in doubt of their salvation and where they're going to go, and that can be solved because the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and whoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. And we all need to come. We all need to bow before Him that we might comprehend this love, because as it says, it's a necessity. We cannot be filled with all the fullness of God. We cannot be even rooted and grounded in His love until we just submit, until we just abdicate being in charge of our life, until we abdicate our allegiances, our opinions, our thoughts, and begin to flow with God's opinion. Begin to flow with what God says and what God has said about us. And whether that means your lack of confidence or your overconfidence, all of it has to be laid aside. God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter what's happened to you. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are, what achievements you have. All stand on even ground before the Lord God. He is no respecter of persons. And He's no respecter of the situation that you're in, because there's nothing too difficult for Him. I just have felt that for any that are in a struggle today, you may be in a relationship struggle. You may be in a financial struggle. You may be in a health struggle. You may be in a personal struggle, a struggle in your mind. Whatever it is, I believe that God wants to touch you, that you might comprehend His power, His love, and His plan and purpose for you. He has a hope and a future for each of us. He wants you to arise with hope in your heart, with confidence in your heart, with victory in your life and in your heart, through His Holy Spirit, and to understand how He so dearly loves each and every one of us, and each part of His creation. As He said, even the sparrow that falls, He sees how much greater do you matter to Him.